This call is being recorded.
Hey there. I'm the only person on right now. So I didn't receive any questions ahead of time, and I haven't heard any feedback as far as who was going to be on the call or not, which there didn't have to be. But I'm assuming if you are in the VIP group, you're going to want to have your questions answered around all of these podcasts. So real quick, the podcasts I'm referring to, of course, are not the Journey of Attachment podcasts. I'm talking about, you know, the podcasts that have been this month in March. You know, we have fear, the opposite of self-control, the road to non-attachment, all of that, right? Relationships as power struggles. And, you know, these are all relevant topics, I believe, to learning about yourself and growing yourself. When people work with me in a coaching relationship, it's quite different than just listening to the podcast. And I know people get a lot from the podcast, but to get to a deeper level is the key, right? To get to your emotional state and to be able to impact that, because then you're going to impact your subconscious, right? So when it comes to things like fear that I talked about on last Friday's podcast, that's where most of us exist, is in that place of fear. And unfortunately, we don't know that, you know, we're actually doing that, right? We don't know that our decision-making on a daily basis may be fear-based, because it's probably the same decisions we've been making our whole lives, or at least for a part of our lives. Most of us aren't used to making a decision from a place of feeling good. I know for myself, I can look back at every decision I've made from fear, especially when I was in an attached relationship and I was in fear 24/7. I think I had a permanent stomachache, right? And I would find myself trying to control, and control, you know, trying to control things comes from fear. So often that's what we do, right? Is we find ourselves in this place of fear and we don't know it. We just know we don't like how we feel. And so then we want to get a sense of control by trying to control someone else, either through manipulation, because I'm going to show up a certain way and then you're going to think whatever you think of me, and then perhaps you're going to do what I want, and then I'm going to feel like everything's okay because it's all under control. And the problem is that it really isn't, because it's momentary, because deep inside of yourself you feel out of control. And that's what I have found for most people. Actually, I'm trying to even think of anybody I've met who doesn't come from that place, but that's what happens with most of us, is we are in this sort of hole. So, you know, that's one area where if you had questions about how to get out of fear as a decision-making tool and out of trying to control everything outside of you and to feel what is going on and to be counterintuitive to it. You know, I was sharing with a couple of my coaching clients this week. Actually, I have for my one-on-one coaching clients, they belong to another Facebook group that's very active, and I do share things that I don't necessarily share on the podcast or what have you. But I was sharing an experience I had last weekend, and what was hard for me was I was in a position, I've been dating somebody who's emotionally available, and I found that something happened between us, not in a negative way that he did something, you know, that was, let's call it a deal breaker or what have you, because that's a whole other podcast when it comes to deal breakers. But anyways, something had occurred, and I also have been dealing with a minor health issue that just started a week ago. And long story short, I'm laying there next to this person, Okay, and if whoever just signed on, if you can mute yourself real quick. But anyways, what I found was I had this urge to run. And because I had this urge to run, I looked at it and I'm like, okay, Tracy, that's what you've done in the past. You know, like other relationships, that it was like that same feeling I would get when I'd want to run away. Except that I've done so much work on myself that there's nowhere for me to go. There's nowhere for me to go at all. And so I was left with, okay, I'm not going to be in my head. I got to get in my feelings, right? So I'm laying there and I dropped my focus into my body and, you know, it was in my stomach and I felt fear. So when I felt fear, it was counterintuitive for me because, and I'm saying counterintuitive for me, what I decided to do next. Because the old way would have been fear. I need to get away. I need to isolate. I need to kind of be by myself and figure this out and, you know, go through all these mental gyrations, which absolutely are a fucking waste of time. But anyways, I decided not to do that. And I decided to actually speak up and say something, you know, with starting with the first words were, I'm scared. Okay. So when you have fear, you know, pertaining like to the podcast from last Friday, you can definitely change your whole life. Like I changed my whole situation from feeling like, oh my God, what the hell am I going to do? I got to get away from this guy, to being there and not throwing the baby out with the bathwater because of my own shit. Because what brought it up was I had a reaction to something about him. So anyways, so look at what you do on a daily basis and look at how many of your decisions come from reaction, what you're reacting to. And instead of reacting and going off the rails, what you can do instead is to go deeper into your body. You know, a lot of us hold fear in our stomach, our chest. Sometimes our jaws get tight. Some people get it in their back. Just focus on where you feel it. And then when you do that, what happens is another idea will come to you, like of really what you want to do. It'll feel risky. It'll take courage. It'll be out of the norm of how you usually operate, but it will set you free from that fear that's crowding that space. So that's a big thing for most of us in our daily lives to just start making decisions from there. It is a big thing because it adds up. It adds up, I want to say incrementally, but it does, but it doesn't, because they may seem like small decisions. Let's say you start small with everyday decisions, but if you actually give it a consistency, right? Like I consistently want to find my reactions. I consistently want to find fear, or where I live in fear, or where I'm trying to control things. And then I want to make different decisions, and these counterintuitive ones, but you got to feel them. You can't just think them. So somebody else logged on. If you have a question, go ahead and unmute yourself and ask a question, because so far nobody is, and I'm just rambling about the podcast from last week. So, you know, feel free. If not, I'll just talk a little bit about each podcast. Or not all of them, but whatever ones I can cover in this time, just giving a little bit more information, unless you have a specific question. Okay, so I'm not hearing anything, so I will get into the road to non-attachment, right? That was another podcast. And most of us don't know how to operate from a place of non-attachment. We can mentally tell ourselves not to be attached to people, places, and things. But most of the time, we're freaking attached. Most of us, you know, going, and I can go in between both podcasts, between the fear and the non-attachment, because fear is what drives attachment. And scarcity, because there's not going to be enough for me. I can't have what I want. unless I am attached to the outcome. And so when you constantly live in that place, you're living in a future, you're living somewhere else, you're not living in the moment, you don't really have any power. And to have power is to let go of the attachment to things having to be a certain way, and to outcomes with people that you can't control, right? I think that's really difficult for most people. And again, it requires this whole way of being with yourself. Because the bottom line is, through all of my podcasts, through everything that I do, it always comes back to the self. It has to. And it has to emotionally come back to the self so you can change your patterns. Because if it doesn't, then you're just doing intellectual work, right? You're mentally thinking this and mentally thinking that. And that helps to a certain degree. But the minute you're confronted with anything, all that mental is going to go by the wayside. You're going to lose those tools because they're not really ingrained in you, because they're not a new pattern. Your patterns will take over because, as a human being, we are just made of freaking patterns. We are constantly acting in the same cycles over and over until you really place your awareness on how you get triggered into a pattern, or how you get triggered into, okay, I'm in this pattern. And see, the thing with patterns is it takes you to your attached outcome, right? A pattern always has some kind of fucking outcome. And it's usually not a happy-go-lucky woo-hoo outcome. It's an outcome that keeps you in your comfort zone. And so we have attachment to that, right? Well, if I take care of this part of my life first, with being attached to the outcome, and I say I want to change, but let me just get this part of my life under control first, and then I'll worry about, you know, changing things. And so we're always in that state of struggle with trying to control everything and being attached to it having to be a certain way. If you were to actually stop and think about, and I say think about for a moment, why you have to have life look a certain way, you're going to find that a lot of your reasoning absolutely has makes no difference. It makes no sense, because some people will say, well, I have to have a relationship. I have to have, you know, this amount of money. I have to have this lifestyle, whatever. You really don't have to have it, but perhaps it's where you placed your happiness, right? It's where you've made decisions because this is what I've always done. Other people are going to accept me because other people, of course, are involved in all of this, because they're the other voices in our head a lot of the time. And so we are attached to all sorts of things that don't necessarily make us happy, because we keep doing the same patterns over and over to achieve that. And it's really about breaking those patterns and taking the time to do it and the courage to do it. It takes fucking courage. It is scary shit to let go and go, you know, I don't think about it. Like, it was funny. I was reading something recently, and it's like I totally felt like my life has done the same thing. And that is, I've really surrendered a lot. And I mean that from not giving up, but not having an attachment to outcomes. And this person was saying how, you know, people say, well, what are your goals? And she's like, I don't know. I just kind of, whatever life brings to me, right? Whatever life shows up and does, I'm game. And I'm thinking, I am so on board with her. Because sometimes, you know, the setting of goals and having an attachment to them, you know, attachments to outcomes, can really set us up for a lot of stress and pressure and pain instead of enjoying the journey. You know, we don't enjoy the journey that way. And to me, I like my journey because I trust life to deliver, for the most part, not a perfect way, okay? I'm not perfect at it. And I may never be, I don't know. I find that I do surrender, though, rather than get attached to an outcome. I don't even have the energy for it anymore. Because to me, what's really exciting, and this is the truth, when you get to a place of non-attachment, fucking awesome because surprises happen. I said that to somebody yesterday on a client call, and she's like, I hate surprises. And I'm like, okay, well, here's the thing. These are pleasant surprises. These are opportunities. These are things that you wouldn't have expected. You know, the universe does deliver. The universe isn't leaving you high and dry. You are. Through all your beliefs and all your patterns, you are the one who's doing it. If you're alone, you're the one who's doing it. If you're in a detached situation, you're the one who's doing it based on your belief system. So when you really do let go and you, you know, however you want to put it, you let go, you let God, you let go, you let life, you let go, you let the universe, whatever. And you trust that everything's just going to work out. It's all going to work out. It's all going to be okay. And it is. And it does. Even if you have to go through shit to get there. And the thing is, when people get to, all right, I don't want to be attached, right? I want to be in a state of non-attachment. They don't realize that all the construction and buildings and city that they've created in their mind has to be demolished. So all the things that you're attached to having it have to be a certain way ends up crashing, right? So shit may happen the minute you say, okay, I don't want to be in a state of attachment with my life, right? And so it's, wait a minute, all the shit's hitting the fan, but it's all stuff that you need to let go of that's been inside of you. It's been inside of you the whole time, and you're just needing to let go of it. So opportunities will come up for that. And meanwhile, if you're really paying attention and you're really in a state of surrender to life, not trying to control everything and everybody, you will have better outcomes than you ever could have thought possible. Ever. I believe that because I've seen it in my own existence over and over. That the only reason, you know, because I have clients who will say, the universe hates me. The universe fucks me over. No, no. You fuck you over. You fuck you over by how you see it and how you think it and how you believe it. And I know it because I used to be one of those people saying that. And the funny truth is, when life is showing up and it's giving to you and you're not attached, okay, and these little miracles are happening and these little things that are just so surprising and so cool, you start to see, holy shit, you see the contrast of how your belief, like the I'm alone belief, because that's a famous one with most of the people I work with, and myself. You start to see how the I'm alone belief has undermined so many things in your life. How you have created so many situations, not just by what you're attracted to in a relationship, but what you're attracted to and how you operate in your life, like across the board. And you start to see all the ways you've isolated, how you've hidden out, how you've been the rescuer, how you've, you know, tried to look like you got your shit together 24/7, that kind of stuff, right? So in essence, most people don't realize that they are the source of their own experiences. So to get to non-attachment, it's to recognize you are the source of your own experiences. So does anybody have any questions so far on anything I'm talking about? If you do, go ahead and unmute yourself. Okay.
I actually do have a question.
Okay.
So even if you know that,
yeah,
I'm still not sure how to put that into practice in life. I mean, knowing it and then actually acting on that are very different things.
Right. So, well, first of all, who am I speaking with?
This is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. It's nice to talk to you. Thank you for the essay, by the way. It was lovely. it was. I appreciate that. Okay. So do you want to give me a situation and then I can sort of answer it a little bit, at least more specifically?
I'm just trying to think. For me in general, even if I know that I am attached to this particular ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
and know that, okay, so this is the way to, like, you know, this is, okay, so this is what non-attachment is, this is what attachment is. It doesn't necessarily translate into behavior.
Right.
I still find myself acting in ways where it's the old game, as opposed to just being flat out honest. I think it's because, you know that when you are honest and when you are vulnerable with someone, that you are indeed giving them power, which is why you've had those, obviously, the podcast on seeing relationships as a power struggle.
Right. And so go ahead.
No, so I was just saying that, like, learning how to interact in an entirely different way is really hard.
Right. So let me ask you this. When you are in that situation and you're thinking, okay, I'll be vulnerable and open and I'm going to give my power away, which, as you know, after listening to my stuff, isn't necessarily true, but it's an illusion. So there's a fear. What's the fear? What is the fear of being in that place? What is the worst possible thing that you believe is going to happen to you?
Being rejected for who I really am versus being rejected for a mask.
Okay. So rejection for you means that you are invalidated, right?
Yes.
That
yes.
This person holds the key to your power no matter what, whether it's a mask or whether it's you, right? So you're probably,
right.
What, walking on eggshells a lot with this person, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the problem is most of us aren't brought up to have, you know, any kind of value in ourselves, and so it becomes a value statement. Because we're looking outside of ourselves to other people to provide that. And in this case, you're needing him to provide that to you. And so you don't want to cut that supply off, because then where are you going to get your own validation? I mean, and that's the shift. And of course, this is what I hope I stress enough in these podcasts. This isn't mental work. This is emotional work. And it is really about, like I was describing earlier, it's about being in a place with yourself, making a decision, and it's a moment-to-moment decision. Okay, I'm going to say what's true for me, and it's not giving away your power at all, by the way. It takes so much more courage. It's far more scary to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Right. So it takes courage. It doesn't take courage to have your facade show up. That takes a lot of stress and anxiety to have your facade show up. So when you are coming from your truth, you really are in a state of non-attachment, because you're not controlling what the other person's going to perceive. And when it comes to, let's say you say something, okay, and then you get rejected. To me, I'd rather be rejected for saying something honest rather than for the facade, because this is what happens. When the facade is rejected, we'll get in our heads and we'll strategize more and we'll think of other things that we should do or we could do or what have you. When you get rejected, which you're not really being rejected, it's that the person can't handle whatever the hell you're throwing their way, okay? That's their shit. But there's a perception that you're being rejected. So when you're rejected for your honest truth, there's nowhere to go. Like, you're not going to climb in your head. When you're really being honest, you're not going to climb in your head and go, I should have said this or I should have said that, because you said the truth. So there's nowhere to go. You see what I mean?
Well,
it's like a total different. Yes?
I do. And that makes sense. But what, like, the value that's coming from me through being raised with my father and my sister is that these people, like, why would I give my truth to someone who could hurt me? That like, he is not worth my truth, if that makes sense. And that
cool. So here's the thing. Your judgment of the other person, right? You categorized him, he's unworthy, he's whatever. Okay, he's a big pile of shit. So the problem is that you're not seeing you realistically either. It's like you've made him the enemy, he's the bad guy,
yeah.
Right? And you're the good guy. And whenever you have that dynamic, you're never going to get to a place of well-being. You're not going to get to a place where you feel in control of yourself emotionally. Every time we're relying on other people to either act a certain way or not act a certain way, all we're doing is staying stuck in the same freaking pattern. It's to break through the pattern. It's not about he deserves it or he doesn't deserve it. You deserve it. See, it's a whole shift of perception. Because if I'm expressing myself honestly, and I do it all over the place, all the time, I could give two shits about what other people think about it. Because if I'm not doing that, I don't even know that I could not do it anymore. But anyways, in the beginning, I would cringe. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm sharing this. But I knew I had to because I'm unburdening myself. Otherwise, that truth is buried in me. And that's part of the anxiety you carry. That's part of the distance you have with yourself because you're carrying it. Because if you don't share your truth, where does that go? It stays stuck in you. This is all about you. It's not about him and getting one up or not one up. It's about you. It has to be about you. And that's a hard shift because most of us weren't raised, as you just started to mention, you weren't raised to feel value. You weren't raised to even know how the hell to navigate except by watching them, watching society, you know, your own experiences. And it just comes to a place of, I want to feel good. So if you want to feel good, you have to look at why you feel he doesn't deserve. You know, why doesn't he deserve for you to be honest? Why do you have to punish him? You know, that's another thing, the punishment reward from childhood. And then we apply it to people. And in truth, even people who are assholes are usually doing the best that they can.
True.
So, yeah. They don't, you know, and I think I just recorded this podcast. I think it was the one I did yesterday. And I was talking about how would you like to be the person who's the asshole, right? Because most people that I work with and talk to and myself, it's like, well, I'm not the asshole. But it's nobody has to be the asshole. It's just that you're on two different pages, probably not even in the same book, and you want to look at how you help to create the dynamic because that's the only thing that's going to set you free. Because you're not going to change them. And by punishing them, you're not going to feel better. You might feel vindicated for a moment. But then you're going to go back to feeling like shit. So it really is about speaking your truth, but you got to get clear on your truth because a lot of times people speak their truth and they speak it from a place of blame, you know, like,
right.
Look, you make me feel this way. And it's like, oh, fuck, that's not your truth. You know, that's not really what we're talking about here. It's to say what's really true and then not be attached to whatever they say back to you. Because when a relationship is hanging in the balance anyway, especially with attached relationships, and there's a whole fear of abandonment as it is, it's like you think you're in school or something, and you're like, okay, maybe if I do this, or maybe if I do that, or, you know, you're trying to think of all these different ways of not being abandoned because your value is so riding on what this person, you know, shows up and does or doesn't do. And it really comes to the courage it takes to start speaking your truth in little teeny bits. You know, I don't recommend going all in and, you know, like making yourself come unhinged, okay? Otherwise, you'll have a fucking panic attack and go, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing? You don't want to do that.
No, but when you said the unburdened piece, it reminded me of something that my sister and I have often said, which is that our parents expected us to keep our burdens to ourselves. That the way mm-hmm. you show someone that you love them is that you deal with your burdens on your own. And I've always done that, and yet I've always resented every fucker who I've done it to because I've wanted to be truthful but prejudged them as unworthy and unable to deal with it.
Yep.
And that's me. That's not them. That's never them. That's like I may have picked them because I thought they would be like that, and they ended up, you know, where they would have. But it's still mm-hmm. something that I chose to go into the relationship with. I will pretend to have my shit together, and you will love me because I have my shit together, unlike all those other women.
Right. And that makes
men,
you
when I
superior.
Break up with them, then when I break up with them, they end up with women who are, you know, their shit is not together in any way, shape, or form, and I'm jealous.
Of course. Because you want to be rescued. Yeah, of course. Because you've never been rescued. You've been rescuing yourself all these years. And there's so many things associated with the whole stoic way of dealing with stuff, because you aren't connected to yourself emotionally. All you think is, and you feel inferior, you know, you feel insecure because you're shoving all that shit down and you don't feel good inside. And so you meet somebody and of course they have to be inferior to you on some level, yes, in your mind, by the way, just in your head. Okay. And then you have to be superior in some way. So of course you're going to be the rescuer. Of course you're going to be the one who has their shit together, because who would you be otherwise? And the truth is, that's not who you really are. So you have that huge disconnect and you're not able to be real and to actually feel, I want to say, emotionally in control of yourself. You feel like you're controlled by the circumstances then. And it just, it doesn't change. It remains a power struggle. As long as you can't be, you know, in a place of, let's say, being honest with yourself. And it's not easy, but if you ask any of my clients that have worked with me, you know, or people that I'm actually training to be coaches, they've been clients of mine, and they'll tell you how hard this work is to do, but how rewarding it is, because everybody's smart. You know, we're all smart. Like, I'm sure you have a shit ton of strategies, right, that you use.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, because you learned them young, you've refined them as you've gotten older, you know that if you do this, then this might be the outcome. And the truth is, it's not a satisfying outcome, it's temporary, and you're already on to the next thing. And that doesn't serve you. So it's not about giving your power to him, it's about reclaiming your power. Because I find it, every act of courage I have, it empowers me. You know, every time I speak the truth, I was sharing just a little story when you tuned in, and I've been dating somebody who's emotionally available, which is like taking a trip to another planet, by the way. So, it has its own challenges in what it challenges in you. But anyways, I said to him, you know, the words when I woke up next to him last weekend, I said, you know, I'm scared. Would I have said that in the past? No. Because I never had problems when I was younger. Oh, what, me have a problem? Oh, I had a lot of problems, but I hid them all. And it didn't serve me. And it's like, when I say that, what I allow is something to change and not be under my control. And just say what's true. And that was true. I didn't know what else I was going to say because I wasn't strategizing. And I didn't know how he would respond. And so it was a huge risk. But I don't care, because I've gotten to the point where if I don't speak my truth, then I get to leave feeling like shit. And I don't want to feel like shit anymore. And you got to make that decision of, I don't want to feel like shit anymore. So I'm going to go down a path I haven't really gone down, which is to take it bit by bit and just be honest. You know, one of the things, I'll share this with you real quick too. One of the things, like when I had this whole long attached relationship, at least my last one, because hey, all of them had attachment. So when I discovered, like, I was walking down the street one day and I had this guy who was in and out of my life. And a lot of times, because I was just like, I'm sick of your shit. Goodbye. And I was looking at my phone and I went, Jesus, it's me. Jesus, I am the common denominator in all my relationships. And I've been here before and this feels like shit. And I said these words to myself, until I emotionally am complete with this, I'm not going to slam the door on him again. I'm going to try and be as honest as I can be, which was really hard because I was not brought up to honor my emotions in any way, shape, or form. And so that was like every time if I sent him a text, and I sent him a lot of texts, okay? I started off with text message because for me, I was a big chicken shit, and most of us are. And plus, I could write better than I could speak because I couldn't really speak. I would be like, I don't know what I'm saying, you know? And I started off and I would blame him for stuff and think that was my truth. And I'd feel kind of shitty, like, well, that didn't really feel right. And it took me a while to get the training wheels off. But I did it more and more because I realized I started to feel lighter. I felt less anxious. I felt less focused on him. Because as you notice, you're probably focused on this guy all the time. And I just, right. So you just start, you start to actually create some value in yourself, because it is to value yourself is to feel your feelings and to express what's true for you. That's like the kindest thing you can do for yourself. Otherwise, that shit's just locked up inside you. So is that helpful?
Very, very helpful. Thank you.
Good. Good. Do you have any other questions or anything?
Not right now. I mean, but
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you tuned in. So you can just, if you can mute yourself again, that would be marvelous. Okay, so my computer screen, just one second, because of course I don't know all my podcast titles by heart, because we had a 5-week month. I'm like, and I usually tape them so far in advance. I'm like, what ones did I do? Okay, so the relationships as a power struggle, which I pretty much, you know, covered some of that. You know, relationships as a power struggle, that's just how we're raised, right? Win, lose. I had a client who, she was actually at my retreat, and I just remember her face. That's why I'm like, I remember it was her face, you know, and she had been in a power struggle. Like all her relationships had always been a power struggle, because she was like a super type A and overachiever, like everybody else I work with. Okay. So anyways, whether you have a job or not, you're an overachiever, right? And so long story short, she's in a relationship. And I said to her, I said, if you're in a power struggle, you're coming from fear. And then you got to ask yourself, why am I in this relationship? Am I in this relationship for love? Oh my God, what a concept, right? But the truth is, that's what we think, but it's not what we feel, because we're so busy trying to get validated for what we think is right, for how we think things should be. And then you got a person who has a whole other set of beliefs. And as I don't know which podcast I said this in, but what we don't get is life has been here before us, life will be here after us. And isn't it kind of strange that we expect out of the hundreds of millions of people on this planet that life is going to cooperate and give us exactly what we want, how we want it to look, right? So we're imposing our will, our control on life. And we do this with our relationships, which is kind of ludicrous if you really think about it, right? Because I develop expectations of somebody else, and they're all mental expectations. They're nothing to do with love. Love is free. Love feels good. It's softer. You know, when I worked with somebody and she had a guy she was in attachment with, and this is, I don't know, a few years ago, and she said all this shit about the guy. Like, you know, he's such an asshole. He's this, he's that, blah, 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 blah. And I said to her, I said, okay, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to drop down into your chest and I want you to answer me. I said, do you love him? And then she softened, right? Because she could feel she actually did love this guy. And it was such a contrast to her being in her head with all this drama of how things weren't how she wanted them to be and how he was just such a fuck up, that it completely shifted her. I'm not saying it shifted her permanently, but she got the feeling of, oh yeah, it's this place, this soft place that I want to be connected from. Not the hard outside place. It's, I want to feel that connection to myself, and then I want to be connected to someone else that way without judging the shit out of it. And that's what she saw. And so a lot of times we don't give ourselves that in relationships. It's a power struggle. Do it my way. I want it my way. You have to do it my way. Even if we don't say those words, if you look at everything you do and you try to manipulate and strategize about, you're not really being you. You're not being real. You're not connecting for the purpose of relationship, which is to connect for love. And that is painful. In fact, my podcast tomorrow is called Love is Safe. That's coming out. And I talk about that more, because most of us think love is unsafe. Our whole culture makes fun of it, right? Oh, yeah. Love stinks. Love hurts. Well, no, attachment does. Attachment's what does it. Your head is what creates it. Your heart's not doing any of that shit. Your heart's just hanging out. It's just being, which is so cool. And so what you find, if you move yourself out of being in a power struggle with somebody, is that things change, you know? Life is different, in a good way. And I think from my own experience, and I know from my own experience, when I'm in that place and I allow myself to be there rather than you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're an asshole, you're this. Like what it did was one of the exercises that I do, or I should say I've done, and I do have my clients do this, is I go back to my past relationships and I reframe them. I reframe them from a state of love, of that softer feeling, right? And I start to see the other person not as the enemy or not having, you know, been the big asshole that I claim that they are. And I start to see my own part in it, right? And how I was trying to get something from them. And the truth is that we will do this as long as we stay in our heads and we don't allow ourselves to feel. But anyways, when I went back and I reframed things, I was able to let go of a lot of stuff that I held about the relationship. And then when I say a lot of stuff, what I mean is, like every time I'd look back and I would see a certain situation from the past, and I'd always attach certain emotions to it and, you know, all this unrest and if that wouldn't have happened or if he wouldn't have done that and that kind of bullshit. And the bottom line is that that just kept me in a state of resistance to my heart and kept me in a state of resistance to everything. And then I can see it and I can feel it. And those things, when you can reframe it in that way, give you power. You get your power back. It's not blocked. Because a lot of times when you look back on dysfunctional relationships, attachment relationships you've had, you have a lot of your shit locked up in it. Your emotions are all locked up in it. That struggle is in there. And not the feeling of being connected to yourself. And that's what we miss out on, is we miss out on that. So anyways, I'm really glad that I had a couple people who tuned in today. If you have any follow-up questions to any of it, it would be great if you post in the Facebook group, anybody who's listening to this recording, because I know that it's helpful. I know because of my other group that I have with my one-on-one clients, and they share all sorts of stuff in there. There is all sorts of sharing, and it's really helpful because everybody who shows up, I believe this, universally, everybody who shows up has something in common with other people that I work with. So anyways, guys, thank you again to who called in and to anybody listening. Again, post your questions in Facebook if you have them. Alrighty, have a great day. Bye-bye.